Ralph, you've just published about your 12th book, which unusually is a novel, a utopian novel, called Only the Super Rich Can Save Us, where you write about how 17 multibillionaires band together to save the world. Any real-world impact yet from the book?
Well, I chose 17 real-life Americans that most people know, like Ted Turner and Warren Buffett and George Soros and William Gates Sr. and others, in their advanced age, with some enlightened activities in their background. I put them in fictional roles, had Warren Buffett take them to Maui and a mountaintop hotel in January 2006, and in 1 year, they threw $15 billion, all their contacts, all their Rolodexes and influence behind the people of this country, starting at the grassroots, to take on the big boys in Wall Street and their government allies in Washington and turn the country around in major areas like living wage and single-payer health insurance, election reform, corporate crime enforcement, etc.
Ralph, let me ask you, since the book has come out, have you seen a repercussion?
Right, leaving the issue of causation, Warren Buffett is meeting with billionaires all over the world to get them to devote 50% of their estate. That includes Carlos Slim. Bill Gates is part of this effort. And just a few days ago, Bill Gates and Carlos Slim have put in $50 million each to train public health workers to turn around some of the terrible health problems in Central America and Mexico.
Ralph, what would these billionaires say if you congregated them, as your book implies? And what would you say about the news of the week? BP, under criminal investigation for their spill, putting in $20 billion into a fund to mitigate damages, being flogged on Capitol Hill.
Well, I certainly set up a watchdog group with sufficient investigators and attorneys and environmentalists and engineers to have watchdogged the minerals management entity in the Department of Interior, which was a farce and which basically destroyed any kind of regulatory standards and enforcement for offshore drilling, right down to they didn't even know that the blowout protector was not ready to protect once that that Horizon rig blew up.
Ralph Nader, you ran for president the year that Senator Obama won. What's your take on his policy reaction and his tone during this crisis, especially this week after his Oval Office address?
Well, too little, too late. You know, we've all heard this energy independence rap before with other presidents, and it almost sounded deja vu going back 40 years. So what kind of credibility is there? He didn't give any specifics about efficiency mileage on motor vehicles by X date or other efficiencies and solar energy advances. That's one. The second is, you know, it's been about 16 months, and he did not dig into the minerals management entity in Department of Interior, nor did his secretary, Salazar. So basically, he let the deregulation mania of Bush continue into his administration with catastrophic results.
Critics of Obama, Sean Hannity, Rush Limbaugh, they're saying it's Obama's Katrina. Critics of his predecessors, as you just implied, like Joe Klein, are saying that it's Cheney's second Katrina.
There's no analogy that's worthwhile. It's not even a metaphor. First of all, Katrina was not man-made. The disaster in the Gulf with BP was corporate-made. A whole serial sequence of criminal negligence outlined precisely in a 14-page letter by Congressman Henry Waxman a few days ago, which is on his website. One technical snafu, one technical indifference override after another. So I don't use the Katrina analogy.
What would you want in a climate change energy bill that you would think is worthy of the country and curing and avoiding the next crisis like this spill?
Well, Obama called the BP spill an environmental 9/11. Okay, let's have a war on the hazards, climate change and water pollution, air pollution, all the rest on fossil fuels by declaring a massive conversion to renewable energy, mostly solar in various forms, including wind, and to massive technological efficiencies for lighting, heating, air conditioning, and motor vehicles and buildings. That's what I would have done. I mean, you can't call it an environmental environmental 9/11 as Obama did, and have these mealy-mouthed, well-composed rhetoric float over the airways out of the Oval Office.
Well, wait one second, Ralph. If you, I, and Obama were in a room together, I think it's 100% he agrees with you on policy. What do you say to him when he says, I agree with you, the Senate won't move because corporate big oil interests have bought those last few votes, I don't have 60?
That's a cop-out. First of all, would LBJ not be able to get it through when he had 59 Democrats and an independent? he doesn't know how to deal the way LBJ does. He doesn't have that fervor. The second is, he can embarrass some of these Republicans tremendously. I mean, they stand against investor rights, worker rights, consumer rights, environmental rights. They don't defend the small taxpayer. They support a bloated, wasteful military budget. They don't believe in enforcing corporate crime from Wall Street to Houston to save people's pensions and their mutual savings. I mean, that's a huge case against the Republicans. They should be destroying them in the 2010 election. So basically, he's conflict averse. He is not a transforming leader, as McGregor Burns has pointed out, leaders should be. He's a transactional leader, and the Republicans are very united, and they know his weakness.
Let me follow up on BP. They have had hundreds of occupational environmental violations against them. 95% of all the OSHA violations in the oil industry have been theirs. Here in New York City, there's a proposal in our city council to pull the permit, destroy the business of food trucks if they have 3 parking violations in a year, which often happens because they don't feed the meter. So if law could take away the small business of a food truck for cereal violations, what should the federal government do with a BP because of its environmental violations over time?
Well, BP may be transferring its liquid and other assets outside U.S. jurisdiction because they see maybe $50 billion in claims, especially if this leak continues through August and destroys the whole Gulf Coast tourist and fishing industry. And so we need more than a fine here and a fine there. We need a statute that creates an environmental bankruptcy power, just like creditors can throw a company into bankruptcy when there's massive environmental damage and health and safety casualties. There's got to be a force where the government can throw these companies into bankruptcy, take over with trustees, replace the board of directors and the officers, and expose all the assets of the BP company to the claimants. Short of that, the government can debar BP from government business, which is a multi-billion-dollar deal for BP, supplying fuel to the Pentagon, for example.
Two final political questions. Can Sarah Palin, not that you'd vote for her, but put it on your pundit hat, can she credibly run for the Republican nomination for president?
And no, she can't, because she has to appeal increasingly to the extreme wing, the Ann Coulter-type wing, and all those statements will be used against her by more mainstream Republicans. I think she's basically the Yahoo leader, and she's a good fundraiser, but she's marginalizing herself precisely because she's trying to cater to these extreme parts of the Republican Party.
Well, let me ask you to apply that analysis to yourself. I don't know how good a fundraiser you are, or I don't think you're a Yahoo. However, you've run for president some 4 times. A chance you might run again in 2012.
I want the progressive agenda to be on the ballot. I'd rather have someone else do it, like Jim Hightower or Mark Green. I've really lost faith that the Republicans will even support progressives in their own party, like Jonathan Tessini, who got 18% of the vote running for the Senate in 2006 against Hillary Clinton, is running on the west side of New York for Congress.
Well, thank you. I will resist temptation and announce on WABC New York Weekend that I will probably not be running for president in 2012, but let's see how it goes. Ralph, before we went on air, you told me how you were on C-SPAN talking about how progressives and libertarians can be coalescing and converging on some issues. What did you mean?
On many issues. It's quite pronounced. If you look at my interview on C-SPAN of former Judge Andrew Napolitano, who is the commentator, has a new program on Fox Business News, he came out on that program for criminal prosecution of Bush, Cheney, John Yoo, Judge Bybee, who were in the Justice Department for war crimes. He denounced specifically in Knowledgeby the Patriot Act. He wants enforcement against corporate crime. He's a strong defender of privacy. He's against corporate welfare and subsidies and handouts and bailouts. These are just some of the areas that are, you know, intense progressive agenda items. And so we ought to think that a combination on these issues where we're in concurrence with the other side, to have a coalition and go to work on Congress. It's very hard for Congress to oppose both conservative and progressive advocates on the same side.